You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Lepondre looking to get close side of Font. Lepondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Elm Park Rules preview podcast, previewing Huddersfield Town this week. And we've got Jonathan Lowe joining us. How are you doing, Jonathan?
I'm not too bad. All things considered, over the past few days, the sun is shining at least.
Yeah, I mean, the positives are going to have to be away from the football, it feels like. It's been another pretty dreadful week for Reading.
Yes, it has. I mean, it's been a pretty awful year for Reading so far. I think the first 20 days of the year hasn't been too pleasant. And it, unfortunately, it just seems to be getting worse and worse. You thought kind of the drubbing by Fulham last week was kind of the ultimate low point. However, they've certainly done well to probably match that in terms of losing to the last minute against Middlesbrough, having all this Liam Moore stuff come out and putting in that pretty woeful display against Luton last night.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the one positive of the week, which is that the Middlesbrough game on the whole was a little bit better, and I feel like the result there was at least a little bit harsh on Reading.
Yes, I would say so. I think it was actually a very decent performance, all things considered, especially after that hammering by Fulham. Got the goal in the second half from Andy Carroll, a nice goal, nice to see him score, nice to see Reading score from open play. But as soon as Middlesbrough got that equaliser, you really just did feel that, you know, they had all the momentum, the home fans were behind them, and the second goal was just inevitable, really. And unfortunately, although there was only a couple of minutes left of the game in stoppage time, that they managed to squeeze it in, and it was just a straightforward goal, and one that Reading had conceded all season. Conceded a very similar one against Luton last night. I think that perhaps the scoreline was a bit harsh on Reading. I think a draw probably would have been a fair result, but football, you get what you deserve, and Reading got nothing again.
And that Middlesbrough game is the last game that Andy Carroll was contracted to play. The club haven't released any statement other than Paunovic obviously saying that we have offered him a contract. Does it look likely that he'll go elsewhere? I mean, he was at the game last night and has been training with Reading.
I'm clutching at those straws that you are as well. It's a very interesting one, I think, because clearly I think he's going to have a few offers from elsewhere, and clearly he's keeping his options open for as long as possible. There's talk that Burnley are interested do you swap one relegation fight at Reading for Premier League relegation fight? No doubt he'll get a bit more money up there. He said back in the summer that he wants to stay a bit more south to be near as close to his family who live in Essex. So that would give Reading some sway. So, you know, is he 33 years old as well? He doesn't really need the money. Reading are offering £1,000 a week. So hopefully he's got some good goal bonuses on top of that. But I mean, it's your guess is as good as mine right now. I'd like to see him stay. I think he put in a really, really good shift when he did play those, I think, 8 games he played for Reading in the end. Scored a couple of good goals as well. But on the flip side, I guess Reading do have Lucas Jao coming back at least. You also got Yeku Mate, you know, hopefully in the next sort of 6 weeks or so. So if he doesn't sign on, then at least there are some other players to take a look at. But you know, I'd like to see him stay. Panovich would like to see him stay. Reading wants him to stay, but he's certainly keeping everyone guessing.
Yeah, I mean, and if the financial terms are similar to what we've been offering him, or even a little bit more, it does feel like a no-brainer. But obviously, Reading are not in the position to financially fight with other teams if that's the case. The one thing we do have to offer him is probably guaranteed game time until Zhao is fit, at least. And who knows how long that will be for anyway. So from a player that's training with Reading to one that apparently is no longer training with Reading, Liam Moore on Saturday night came out that he was no longer the captain and that he has, I can't remember the exact phrase used in the statement, but effectively told the club that he would be happy to leave or has requested to leave. I think there is a slight difference there. Do you know any more than what's been put out in that statement?
Well, from what I gather, I think he knows the club's position and the club situation regarding the finances, and he knows obviously he's one of the higher earning players at the club. Is, you know, reports of 34-35k a week, whatever it is, it's a very high wage, and you know, he is one of the highest earners. So I think he would be open to a move. For his sake and for the club's sake, and I think a move would be beneficial for all parties. I think the captaincy issue is a slightly separate one, because again, Panovich admitted last night that he did want to take the captaincy off him, not really because of the transfer request, but because of his form and allowing him to concentrate on his game and getting him back to full fitness and full of confidence and be the player that we saw at the start of last season, because this season he hasn't been very good at all. So and from what I understand, he didn't necessarily agree with that decision to strip him of the captaincy, but he took it on the chin and accepted it and was going to move forward. However, the club have now come out with this statement. Still not sure kind of who gave it the all clear, who signed it off. I can't imagine Panovich would have been too pleased about it. Again, he stressed last night about not wanting to have any sort of distractions and keeping everyone's focus and frame of mind in the right direction. And then obviously Moore's come out and say he's incredibly shocked by it, and followed by this 18 facepalm emojis. So clearly he's not happy. I don't think he's not training with the team at the moment. I think he was with the under 18s on Monday, and then he went up to Loughborough on Tuesday. He's obviously injured at the moment, so that's another thing to take into consideration. He's got a knee injury. I think I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but Panovich did say that there's a chance that he might need surgery. So how long that rules him out for, we don't know. Whether that scuppers any chance of a move over the next, 11 days, we'll have to see as well. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration. And I mean, if you were to ask me now whether I think he'll still be here beyond 31st January, I'd probably say yes. However, I I think it's going to take a long way for him to get back into the sort of first team frame, really. And, you know, otherwise it's going to be a big talking point week after week, I think.
Yeah, you've basically preemptively answered both the questions I was about to ask you about that. Obviously, on Twitter, Eddie Walbank, who seems to have some knowledge of what goes on at the club, said that the statement effectively came straight from Dai. And that feels unhelpful for the reasons that you've just mentioned. If he has effectively alienated a player that cannot be sold due to injury reasons and then is now unlikely to play for Reading in any serious form in the next few months, that can't have a good impact on the squad generally.
No, certainly not. And you know, we all know the fan anger at the moment. The players, I'm sure, are very sort of frustrated with how things are going at the moment, disappointed. And no doubt they'll have their own views about what's happened, what Liam Moore has done, what the manager has done, and you know, what the statement has done, and whoever the statement has come from. So I think it's only created, unfortunately, sort of more divisions, more anger, more uncertainty, at a time when Reading certainly do not need any of this. You know, they don't need any distractions at all, really. The full focus must be on getting some confidence back on the pitch and start picking up points, because the more off-field distractions that there are, and no doubt there's probably going to be more coming up in the next few months or so, the less chance Reading are going to be in the Championship come the end of the season.
That's a depressing thought, but yes, 100%. I mean, the Luton game also wasn't great last night, and I think that it feels obvious that Paunovic is on the ropes. In that statement previously, Dai did say that he had his full backing, Paunovic, but you can't keep losing games. And I mean, the attendance last night was, I don't know what the official figure was, but it felt like the lowest league attendance I've seen in kind of 15 years that I've been going to the Medeski.
I don't know, I think something around about 10,000 or nearly 10,000. I was actually surprised to see so many still in the seats at the end, to be honest, given how awful the display was. I mean, sort of dwindling attendances is nothing new at Reading. And I guess, you know, with all due respect to Luton, they're not a big name side. It's a cold January Wednesday evening. You've got to be a pretty hardened fan to turn up to go and see a Reading game, probably the best of times, and especially last night. It wasn't really an attractive proposition, but it's not a good look on anyone, really, especially at the club. And you know, it's difficult, because you know, the players need the fans need the players, and there's very, very little to get excited about at the moment. And you can certainly understand people's reasons for not going to Reading games at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of discussion on Twitter after a pod we did a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to say we called out the fans, but we had a discussion around the fans and supporting the team. And to be fair, as you said, like, there were a lot of people left at the end. relatively, a lot of people left at the end last night. And like, the noise that they've made, especially in Club 1871 before the matches at home this last week or two, like, it has been, you know, far better than you would expect given the trouble that we're in currently. So I know some people got annoyed. I just wanted to say that, like, the fans are not the problem at the club. I think that there was a slight misunderstanding with what we meant when we were talking about that. And when we as fans do good things, that should also be praised. So I imagine that the attendances are just going to go down from here. But hey, turning our focus to Huddersfield, do we think we're going to have any other players fit? Like, do you think Zhao comes into starting 11? Do you think he's ready for that yet?
Based on last night's performance, I'd probably say not, actually. I mean, it's very difficult to tell Lucas out because he's, like we saw last season, he's a very confidence-based player, and when he's up for it and confident and on form, then he looks the best striker in the world. But unfortunately, there's another side to him, one which is very sort of lackadaisical and appearing to look very lazy and not very motivated. And I kind of saw that at Middlesbrough at the weekend, actually. And last night, he wasn't too bad. He played had a couple of nice touches. Whether he's thrown in from the off, I doubt it, to be honest. I'd like to see him up front, and I'd like to see him with George Puskas, actually. I know a few fans have been calling for that, because Puskas up front, as we saw yet again last night, just doesn't work. I would say he doesn't even run his socks off. He put in a little bit of a shift, but he didn't do anything at all. I think Andy Yeardom and Baba Rahman should be back. I don't see why they wouldn't be. Clearly, Ghana being knocked out of AFCON is a good thing for Reading. Hopefully those two will come in, because those two positions have really been exposed by the opposition teams over the last few weeks or so. Tyrrell Ashcroft and Ethan Bristow did well enough last night, but you know, it's a big ask for them, and they're just not ready. They're too early in their careers to be playing in such a high stakes game, and they were just kind of bullied by Luton last night, unfortunately. And I think the sooner Yeardom and Rahman are back, the better. Good to see Michael Morrison back as well. I think he gives that sort of leadership and experience to the side. So slowly people are coming back. I think Ovie Ajari, there's a chance that he could be back in, which is I don't know whether you think that's exciting or not really, because he's had about one good game, hasn't he, this season. But he gives at least another option for Paunovic. I don't think Hojlund or Halilovic will be back, from the sounds of it. Halilovic possibly. They've still got they've still got quite a few talented individuals. I'm reluctant to say too good, because we've said this for years and they just aren't, and they're not a team, but individually, if they perform to their potential, then Reading will have a chance on Saturday. But it's a big if right now.
Yeah, it is, as always, it's a big if, from team selection to what players are even going to be available to the squad. What is your score prediction, bearing in mind that Huddersfield, I think, are on about an 8-game unbeaten run?
Well, I mean, surely that has to come to an end at some point. I actually fancied Reading to win last night for I'm not quite sure for what reason exactly. I think Reading will get a positive result in this. I don't like to sit on the fence, so I'm gonna say they're gonna sneak a 2-1 win.
Ooh, exciting! I do not have your optimism. I've gone with a 2-0 loss. So I would happily take a 2-1 win and be wrong in this regard.
Perfect. Yeah, I think Yeardom and Rahman being back will be important for Reading, and I think that could sway it.
Yeah, I think especially it felt like a lot of the first half against Luton was so much about protecting Bristow and Ashcroft that's sort of where our attacking threat went down the drain, try and defend. So hopefully with two fullbacks you're more confident in, we'll be able to be more on the front foot, like how Paunovic says, but very rarely plays. So we'll see how that turns out. Thanks very much for joining us again, Jonathan. We'll probably talk to you after. I can't remember what games are coming up soon.
QPR after Huddersfield.
Yes. So we'll probably catch up with you after QPR, because I think there's a bit of a break after that as well.
There's no Stoke game because of the FA Cup.
Yeah, so maybe that'll play into Reading's hands. Peterborough, meanwhile, are playing Tuesday, Saturday for about 4 weeks. So let's clutch at these straws and let's hope, because we have really nothing else anymore. Thank you very much, Jonathan. And after the break, we've got Cozzy from And He Takes That Chance.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm here with Cozzy from Andy Takes That Chance podcast. Joining us from sunny Spain, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Valencia. Honestly, I'm just having a week of watching some Spanish football, and they don't realise how good they've got it here. The blue sky, the sunshine, and just being a bit on their TV about, obviously, our masks are going to be going soon, and they can't believe it. And Boris Johnson's on, but obviously we won't go down that road, but they're stunned. But yeah, no, really good. Nice to be here, and it's always good, isn't it, when the sun shines.
Valencia a little bit nicer than Huddersfield, or would you prefer to be back in the North East?
Put me on the spot there and that as well. They both have their own positives, but what a city. It's just got absolutely everything. Kind of the beach, obviously got two football teams in the top flight, which probably going to go down to one, I think, at the end of the season. Mestalla, brilliant. Good game last night, really enjoyed that. 9:30 kickoff, do you think that would catch up in England? Got out of the ground about 11:30.
I'm always surprised how late it is.
Yeah.
Always surprised.
Wednesday nights and all, like school nights and stuff as well. So it's not as like it's an holiday, but yeah, madness. But only in Spain. I kind of love it when it's a bit crazy and that as well. I think our football's a bit sanitised a little bit. And yeah, their masks. So last night, anytime anyone had the masks, even kind of down under the nose, stewards were proper, like, put it on. And it's not like kind of where we are. It's, No, brilliant city, and we move on. Going to watch Real Madrid tonight, so I'm off to Elche, which is Alicante, so it's kind of 2 hours drive. So, yeah, but obviously, back to reality now. Reading v Huddersfield.
Yeah, I mean the big match of the weekend, obviously. Yeah. How is Huddersfield's season going? Like, obviously, a few seasons ago, you came down from the Premier League, and you had a couple of pretty poor seasons, but this one feels like you're going in the right direction.
Yeah, big surprise really to us all, to be honest with you. At the start of the season, our podcast, I think I tipped us to be like one place above the relegation zone, and a few of the lads said relegation. And obviously the last two seasons, you know, since we've come back down in the Championship, been horrible. Getting regular batterings. Last season, I think we conceded the most goals in the division, and expectations were low. I mean, our signings in the summer, and this is where it's kind of been weird really, because we got a guy from Luton, Matty Pearson. We signed a guy who wasn't even MK Dons as first choice keeper, Lee Nichols. Another guy, Tom Lees, who's Kent Sheffield Wednesday League One club. So put all that together, there was Evan Gord, you know, Jordan Rhodes, even though it's a bit of a obviously hero at Huddersfield, people weren't like kind of excited. It's like the end of his career, he's finished, etc. So put all that together, and on the back of two poor seasons, everybody were like, here we go. But honestly, it's been such a turnaround as well. And manager's done really well. The defence has been sensational, really. How you can go from like 72 goals, I think it was, to, you know, one of the most solid in the division. It's pretty special. I won't lie, the football's not the most exciting in the division. But when we normally go in front in a game, we normally win. So it's been really, really good. And people talk about us as playoff contenders. Yeah, we're up there. But realistically, I don't think many Huddersfield fans expected to be in the six at the end of the season. I think you're seeing now in the January window, Middlesbrough powering on with some signings, West Brom. I think there's others who kind of more are going to go for it, shall we say, as well. But yeah, we've surprised a lot of people, most of all our fans as well. And I think it just proved last week when we were winning 1-0 and we took the lead early doors against the team Swansea, who not doing really well. But I think, as you know, the division is daft, and you know, they were a really good side. Swansea, 17th, probably should have won really. So, but I think expectations rising. People walking out of the ground last Saturday disappointed that we didn't win, and that says it all, because we've just come from three seasons, if you include the last season in the Premier League, and to be fair, half of the first season of just losing football. You know, we go a goal behind, everyone's, that's it, we're done, two goals, we might as well go to the pub. So now it's exciting really as well to kind of be punching above his weight a little bit, and yeah, we've had a nice little run, but it's I think it's like 8 unbeaten or something now. So yeah, it's just nice to, when you look at our table, see you're really struggling, but you know, to see us in the top half, because that's been alien for us for a while now.
Yeah, I would love to be in the top half, but I'm not sure it's going to happen this season. So yeah, I mean, there were some questions around Carlos Corberan. I think, you know, obviously it's his first job. He came from Leeds, right? He was in the backroom staff at Leeds, I think. I might have made that up completely. But is he starting to impress and like, and put his stamp on the team? Because I think that was one of the criticisms last season, was that nobody really knew, that they kind of knew how he wanted to play, but it wasn't working for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think the real thing that's really impressed me, because last season we were kind of playing, I would say, more kind of Bielsa lead style last season than this, but where wing backs were going high up the pitch. We had a Spanish guy called Pippa just come back from injury, kind of a flying wing back, added top floor, getting much more forward than, you know, kind of maybe this season, although he's, you know, he's contributed really well. But we were being exposed and we were losing games regular, you know. We were a soft centre. As defence were really poor, we, you know, kind of a couple of young guys come in and, you know, struggled really as well. And we were really, you know, awful. Richard Keogh's at Blackpool now. God, terrible. Richard Stearman, another guy who's at Derby. We were easy to kind of be, but last year it was really weird because, like, we were underpinned. Josh Kroma was the big noise, you know, this year, last season, just burst onto the scene, hot property. And then this season really struggled. There's, you know, kind of a lot of rooms at the moment. Nottingham Forest might be, you know, fancying him because he's not getting in our team, really, and that as well. He's just shown nothing. But yeah, I think what's impressed me is Coburn has kind of changed his, you know, his beliefs, his style really as well. He probably said, well, I've got more of my players in, because I think one of the biggest things as well, that's the reason for what we're doing well, is we had a lot of people still from the Premier League who just stayed to the bitter end, took every penny that they've got. You know, God, it made you kind of put you off football, to be honest with you, as well. Let's name a few. Alex Pritchard, you know, living it up in League One now, Sunderland, but he stayed till the bitter end, took every penny that we got, which he's entitled to. But yeah, surely you want to play football, really. Massive disappointment. We had a couple of guys from France, Adama Diakabi, left winger. Lee said about him the better, but big money signing. We really struggled to get them out of the club. Isaac and Benzema showed a bit, you know, in the last season. But again, and I think only to, if you can imagine anywhere, really, it's like a workplace that we could go to when you've got four or five people there who not pull it, not asked, not in the, rowing in the same direction, negative influence in the dressing room. It must be difficult. And I think now we've got people who care about Huddersfield Town, and it's really, well, it's not the most, you know, kind of exciting team we've ever seen in, you know, as a fan. And it's nice that people care. They've got X amount. They want to win, and it hurts them when they lose. And that's been lost at Huddersfield for some time. But I think that's a difficulty, as you'll know, like, when in a Premier League, you're shopping in the bargain basements, aren't you? And you're only going to get guys who, you know, they don't know where to still this. They won't come with it if they knew what it's like. But, you know, oh, Premier League football? Yeah, let's come. So, and then when the reality is we're losing every week there, it's like, right, we don't want part of it. So, yeah, kind of gone around the outskirts a little bit there. But Corberan's done well. But it's a weird one, really, because the support base still not, they're still not really kind of taken to him that much as well. And it's really weird because you'd look at our results, you think, God, the fans are really happy. But I don't know what it is, you know. I think maybe, you know, we've been looking our time to have some real characters like Neil Warnock, you know, obviously David Wagner, don't want to remind you too much of him, but real characters, tub thumpers, you know, proper up to the fans at the end of that as well. And I think Carlos is very, you know, kind of introverted as well. And it's been interesting, like, in the last month or so, it's almost like someone at the club's told him that, you know, after the game, you must go to the fans and celebrate and this, that and the other. He kind of looks a bit awkward, really, but still a lot of the fans, they kind of mention that it's football, what have you, you know, it's not the greatest, but I don't know what it is. It's really weird. It's they just won't be won over with him as well. And I think that's just because maybe Spanish, and obviously being here, knowing quite a bit about Spanish football, the managers are pretty similar there. They're not the most exciting, pretty cliche stuff, you know, complicated game, you know, and stuff like that. So where they want, you know, someone's a bit mad, really. Who was that? God, I saw that Twitter interview with that manager. Who was it the other day from? Did you see we were doing a Cantona thing? Can't remember his call. Was it someone for Fleetwood or something? I can't remember the manager, but yeah, total, like, wow, this is a bit mad. But So, yeah. But, no, I have massive respect for Corbrand, because I'll be honest, at the end of last season, I wouldn't have been too fussed if he'd gone. I'm kind of one never to really ask for managers to go. But if he'd have been moved on at the end of last season, I don't think I'd have been too fussed, to be honest with you. But he's coming, and, yeah, brilliant. And we just need to kind of flirt with the playoffs a little bit more, really. We don't want, you know, a season just to peter out. And because, I like I say, I'd, a bit earlier, I don't think we're real playoff contenders. But honestly, compared to the rubbish we've seen in recent seasons, a 10th, 11th place finish and beating a few big boys on the way, we'll take that all day long.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question, really, is if you don't make the playoffs, which, I mean, there are some big names in and around the playoffs at the minute. And you said, like, some of those teams are strengthening where maybe Huddersfield aren't. Is it still a successful season, even if you end up kind of upper mid-table? And then do you think that next season could be even more successful? Is that the hope, that even if playoffs not this year, there is a progression?
100%, Matt. I think it scares me being kind of anywhere near the Premier League. Obviously, we had our fingers burned badly, you know, then. It's took the club so long time to recover from it, and that's well. But absolutely, I think just a base to go again. I suppose the only thing on the other side of it is that as well is, can he keep all the better players? So, for example, Lewis O'Brien, who's been, you know, fantastic this season, you know, turning heads, kind of linked with Leeds a little bit in the summer, you know, and again in the window. Got Sauber Thomas, who's easily been our standout player this season, sensational on the wing, and, you know, people, you know, who create as many assists as him and kind of win as many games as him, is always going to get suits as well. So, yeah, I think the answer to the question is but definitely, you know, you've got a base to build on now, where you look to the last couple of seasons, you're thinking, Christ, we haven't even got a spine, a nucleus, really, but all of a sudden now, we're probably a striker short, really, but I suppose everyone says that, don't they? But, yeah, we've got a nice little spine in our team, but yeah, give us that kind of base. And it's an interesting kind of in the background at the club as well, because there's kind of a takeover that's just happening at the moment, where the old owner is kind of, he's already been part of it anyway, but the owner that we had before, his business sadly gone into liquidation, so he's kind of leaving the club. Dean Hoyle, the old owner, is coming back, but with a 25% stake. But it looks, although it's not being confirmed yet, which is interesting, but Marcus Evans, I think he was at Ipswich Town as an owner as well. So he's, you know, he could be the majority shareholder as well. So it's interesting times off the pitch, really. And I think it's like anything, isn't it? I suppose York's a good example of that. It's like, if you've not got it right off the pitch, it's hard to kind of do it well on the pitch. I think the two go hand in hand. So that's really good. But at last, it feels like positivity. It's like you want to go to games, you're looking forward to the games, and you've got a team who kind of represents you now. Well, you know, it might not be the, like I said before, the most exciting, some of the greatest players we've ever seen, but they care, they'll give everything, and they'll get stuck in. And when you pay your money on a ticket on a Saturday afternoon, God, I watched a couple of your games recently, you just want to know everyone's like, gives a damn, and it hurts when they don't. And, you know, it's sad, really, but yeah, we've kind of got that back now, and let's hope it, you know, stays for our sake, definitely.
Yeah, I feel like I am you from about a year ago, and I would like to swap places. Well, not swap places. I'd like to be where you are in a year, where, you know, happy with the team. I mean, just losing games hurts, right? Like, it's not the most fun in the world, even if people, like, we have a couple of players in our team who clearly still care and want to do well. But in that environment, it kind of, I think it drags everyone down. It's not the most fun. What do you see the game on Saturday being like? As you mentioned, you've unbeaten in 8. Are you pretty confident going into it? Yeah, you must be.
Well, it's really funny, because I just obviously had a look at your form guide before I come on, and said, don't want to be reminded. It's horrendous, isn't it? But we've got an habit of handing out teams wins who are totally out of form. I think we played Cardiff, where they'd gone like 11 games without a win under Mick McCarthy in November, and we arrived there and lost us that as well. But it's one of those, I think most halfbacks will expect to win, but it's just, the Championship's a beautiful division. It doesn't kind of work out like that as well. And, you know, obviously on the back of that Fulham disaster for you, and disappointing result the other night against Luton, I think your fans will, you know, be probably a poor crowd. A lot of people, do we really have to go? If it's a cold afternoon, they'll probably sack it off. So you'd like to think we could probably, you know, take advantage of that. Bit of a problem for us, though. We've got a good squad, but it's not like biggest. And Dan El Sinani, a guy we've got on loan from Norwich, scored last week and that as well. I think he's got a little bit of an injury, could be out for a little bit. And Levi Colwell, who's a centre-back from Chelsea, I think you'll be hearing a lot more about him. Not with us, probably, but you know, I think he'll go all the way to the top of the sky. He's got a problem as well with his knee, so one or two kind of little niggles. But yeah, I'd like to think we'll win, but I just don't know. It's I don't want to jinx it, and then you put me on this loop video, Matt, on the Monday when Reading have got their first win in how many? But yeah, hopefully. But it's yeah, it'd be an interesting afternoon. But I think it's one of those. If we've got to real, I don't think we're really serious playoff contenders. But I think if you really are, you'll go to. I want to say Elm Park. Then God, I'm showing my age there. But yeah, we got to your stadium on Saturday and win. But nothing had surprised me, to be honest, mate.
Do you want to give a score prediction, or are you going to hold off on that?
Go on then, mate. I'll say we'll win 2-1, but it's, yeah, I think one goal for you will be good, won't it? You'll take that after the last few games.
I was about to say, I probably would take 2-1. No, I'd like to think that we'll play a bit better. I think it's a difficult one. It's so often like, what is the players and what is the manager? And sometimes we play, you know, we come out and we play well, and then other times we really don't. And recently, it's been the latter rather than the former. So I think probably a 2-0 Huddersfield win as well. Yeah. So
it's really weird, Max. Like when I watched that Fulham game, obviously, so sorry to remind you for it, but you've still got a good chance of getting out of it just because of what's happened down there with the minuses and stuff. I mean, obviously, you've got your deductions. It's really weird, isn't it? Anyone looking at that thing, they're done, and maybe kind of mentally it's going to be hard to come back, but you've still got every chance of staying up. So it's, again, just the craziness of the championship. I love it, man. It's just like Premier League's so predictable. Man City will probably win it by about 20 points. You pretty much know what's going down. I would say now maybe one position up for grabs, 3 out of 4 in our division. Wow, we would have forecast the Blackburn being up there this year. Ben Brennan and Diaz, incredible. And, you know, that yeah, Fulham, Bournemouth, you probably expected them. But after that, anything can happen, really, as well. And Barnsley in the playoffs last year, probably going down this year, sums it up for me. Great division, love it.
Yeah, it is fun. And who knows, maybe you'll be in it next year. Maybe you'll be in the Premier League. And that'll be fun.
No.
That'll be fun. No. But anyway, Cozzy, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes,
go and enjoy the Spanish sun, and I hope the Real Madrid game's good. I imagine it's probably going to be better than the one at the Select Car Leasing on Saturday.
Yeah, let's hope for a cup shock, mate. You can't beat a good old cup shock. Sorry, again, mention that again because you had one the other week. But
yes,
yeah,
we did.
Nice.
Thank
to be
you
Real
so get
back.
Much.
I don't know. Sorry, and we won't mention the playoff final, mate. Yeah, I'll never be back on again, will we? So, no, all the best, mate. Anyway, cheers. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much for being here, mate. Enjoy your holiday.
Cheers. Thank you.